Fireweed Poems, Part 2. Mountain Path. As two learn to walk together as one, one of their most primal fears is that they might somehow, by some accident, be separated, perhaps irreversibly. That is why love seeks to protect every step freedom makes. Little Stone Man, slowly, rock by rock, feet searching for a route through the fractured byways of a vast boulder field. The feeling of being lost mixes with mist, the body shot full of holes, energy pouring out every which way, any direction as good as the next. But one moves on all the same. In the distance, a little stone man, just a pile of rocks 5 feet tall, but he's waving, he's smiling, silent gestures which give one courage, the whisper of a smooth, comforting voice. You're not lost. Keep going. This is the right way. Keep going. A blaze, a cairn, a metal board, signs of those who have gone before me, sounds of front doors firmly snapped shut, echoing in the forest at night. In the forest, the mark of the axe, the wood, the wound, the trust of trees, of threads tied, trunks, wombs, of rocks, of constancy, the quiet centers around which turn the gift of our returning. Returning, day-old boot prints in a single row, a track, a trail, a muddy road. So much of my now walks on their past, but how quickly my feet beat their work dumb, the dulling drone of mechanical drums. My free, easy rambling is their hard labor, my sure step, their fatigue, their turning back. But one moves on all the same, and everywhere these deafening sounds of drums, heavy drums, beating the bounds. So tell me, please, pathmaker past, where is the unknown now? Glaciers, ridges, rivers without end, these differences, black and white, a line, a color, a printed page, a map's measure of the earth's music, or a madman's dictation. The sure and certain knowledge that others have been there before me. Oh, yes, the world is round. What a marvelous returning. A child draws the hands of a clock. Such seriousness. 5, 8 minutes pass. But her face, so full of frustration, surprise, seeing what's written belongs to the past. Belongs to the past, but one keeps going all the same, and everywhere echoing these deafening sounds, beating the bounds of drums, heavy drums, beating the bounds. So tell me, please, map-maker past, where is the unknown now? A letter, a word, a sound, a phrase, meter matrix, mother of all, tell me, please. Where to, with this need to be lost? Where can this little girl build her man of stones, to mark that place where maps have dragons and trails have tails wrapping round themselves, where all is fire, motionless, ablaze, no sound, no sign, steady light. Part 3. Without. A world without light or sound is thinkable, but not a world without movement. Four Romances. 1. Tuning. It was as if a light were carried slowly, in a measured way, from player to player to player. A light passed on from the very first, the original, of all earthbound fires. bright star burning, not without passion, not without ash. 2. It was the beauty of the writing, the proportioning on the page, that intrigued the scholars most. They had only fragments, but they had to be poems, dozens of them, that much they knew, they had to be. They would count the letters in what appeared to be breaks between the words on a page. Patterns emerged, and theories concerning meaning were proposed and circulated. And yet, it was the rhythm, the sound of the words. We mustn't forget, they had to be poems, that much they knew, that remained a mystery. As time passed on, the character of this absent sound, of its spirit, it could be said, became a source not of clarity, but rather of great confusion to them, finding no proper place in their lexicon of ancient knowledge, in their hypothesized ars poetica. And so at once they did, and yet did not, notice that something was missing in their rooms filled with learned, yet strangely mute, one could almost say disembodied, conjectures. 3. On the podium, a man professed that a pipe of crude concrete made the same sound as a flute made of gold, that, indeed, sirs, a vibrating column of air is a vibrating column of air. Listening, the young woman felt such a rage well up within her that she wanted to run up and gouge out his eyes. But then she thought, no, she would have her chance to demonstrate the truth of her sound, although she knew that few among them would care to listen. 4. No one had taught her how to tune the strings. She simply knew. Without knowing why, she sensed that beneath each sounding string there lay a band of silent sound as big as the world itself. She would turn the pegs until the precise moment a string touched this source and was illumined by it. And this, she thought, was love, as big as the world itself, and yet so intimate and so small she could hold it in her hands. And still she knew that if she were to hold it too tightly, as hers and hers alone, that this sound, no matter how hard she might try, would lose all its beauty, and that she would have to stop and learn to tune again. 5. Mystery Flower. It was simply there, waiting almost, in an abandoned field. There were roads nearby, and a noise that made them uneasy about lingering too long. They had all come to study it, and debate its form, origin, next of kin. There was the problem of a name, and proper epithets, and of course there was the issue of a specimen. Should they risk transplanting it, or would a leaf be enough? No, they all knew, although not one of them dared say it out loud. They must have a flower. Yes, a single, whole flower. That is how they found them, all standing stones frozen in a circle about a mysterious, empty center, outstretched hands gesturing to the heavens, eyes closed, mouths still fully opened. 2 little poems about nothing. 1. Zero. Zero, such a shy performer. At first hiding behind the nose in, you step out onto the clear, open page. Zero, inside your tight boundaries lies amazing space, the mouth of a bottomless well dropping down into the dark waters of unknown significance, where absence is not naught, and a mere nothing adds more to the already full. cipher of silence swollen round with fresh beginnings, of curtains about to open, the choir's first breath. Origin of origins, which comes forever before, the sound which can never be played. No reply. This waiting for that which does not come, perhaps will not come, rings left incomplete. The paper which remains blank after so many years, turned yellow and dry, still thirsty for rain. The book left half read, whole shelves full of dust and desire. The ardent letter which finds no reply, a hole burnt open in nothing. The song spreads its wings and waits for warm air, and wait it must, for in a room without echoes, we quickly stop our play.